Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore Jai Jagana Jaya Jai Jagana Jaya Jai Baladev Jaya Jai Subhadra Itai Gaura Haribo, 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 Itai Gaura Haribo. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Om Vishnu Padaya Paramahamsa Parivegacharya Asata Stada Hizibhani Grace Anta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jaya Om Vishnu Padaya Paramahamsa Parivegacharya Asata Stada Hizibhani Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakodi Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Grantharaj ki jai. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, entitled Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna, Verse 21. Koveti Bhuvan Bhagavan Paratman. Yogeshvaro Dir Bhavatas Trilokyam. Vavakatham vakati vakat Koveti Bhuman Bhagavan Paratman. Yogeshvarotir Bhavatas Trilokyam. Vavakatham vakati vakadeti. Vishtarayam kridashi yogamayam. Koveti Bhuman Bhagavan Paratman. Yogeshvaroti Bhavatas Trilokyam. Vavakatam vakati vakadeti. Vishtarayan kridashi yogamayam. Koveti Bhuman Bhagavan Paratman. Yogeshvaroti Bhavatas Trilokyam. Vavakata vakati vakadeti. Vishtarayan kridashi yogamayam. Anyone else? Koveti Bhuman Bhagavan Paratman. Yogeshvaratir Bhavatas Trilokyam. Vavakatha Vakati Vakadati. Vishtarayan Kridashi Yogamayam. Koveti Bhuman Bhagavan Paratman. Yogeshvaroti Bhavatas Trilokyam. Vavakatam Vakati Vakadati. Vishtarayan Kridashi Yogamahyam. Koveti Bhuman Bhagavan Paratman. Yogeshvaroti Bhavatas Trilokyam. Vavakatam Vakati Vakadati. Vishtarayan Kridashi Yogamahyam. Thank you for chanting, wonderful chanting. Word by word translation. Kaha, who, veti, knows, Bhuman, O Supreme Great One, Bhagavan, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paratman, O Supreme Soul, Yoga Ishvara, O Master of Mystic Power, Utihi, the pastimes, Bhagavataha, O of your Lordship, Trilokyam, in the three worlds, Kva, where, Va, or, Katam, how, Va, or, Kati, how many, Va, or, Kada, when, Iti, thus, Vishtarayan, expanding, Kridasi, you play, Yogamayam, your spiritual energy. Translation. O Supreme Great One, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Super Soul, Master of all mystic power, your pastimes are taking place continuously in these three worlds. But who can estimate where, how, and when you are employing your spiritual energy in performing these innumerable pastimes? No one can understand the mystery of how your spiritual energy acts. Purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. Brahma previously stated that Lord Krishna incarnates among the demigods, human beings, animals, fish, and so on. This does not mean, however, that the Lord is degraded by His incarnations. As Brahma clarifies here, no conditioned soul can understand the transcendental nature of the Lord's activities, which He enacts through His spiritual potency. Although the Lord is Bhuman, the Supremely Great One, He is still Bhagavan, the supremely beautiful personality exhibiting pastimes of love in His own abode. At the same time, He is Paramatma, the all-pervading Super Soul who witnesses and sanctions all the activities of conditioned souls. The Lord's multiple identity is explained by the term Yogeshwar. The Absolute Truth is the master of all mystic potencies, and although He is one and supreme, He manifests His greatness and opulence in many different ways. Such elevated spiritual matters can hardly be understood by foolish persons primitively identifying themselves with this insignificant material body. These conditioned souls, such as atheistic scientists, consider their own puffed-up intelligence supreme, gullibly placing their firm faith in material illusion. They are captured by the modes of nature and driven far away from knowledge of God. Chaitanya Manavishtam Srapina Minapa Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Tatati Svapadantika. Thank you for coming today. I feel very privileged to be here on Lord Nrisimha's appearance day. Thank you all for coming and chanting with me wonderfully. I mentioned there have been some delays maybe, and just wanted to double check what time should we finish the lecture, like what time should we exactly finish so we have time for questions? Is that still fine to finish it? Okay. All right. Sure. Oh, I have a few points here, so I'll try to go a little bit faster and hopefully, it's a bit clear and hopefully I'll cover everything. But it's a very interesting verse, and Lord Brahma comes to a very important point that no one can understand the mystery of the, how God's spiritual energy acts. No one. And he's saying that he's the most intelligent being in the universe. Maybe only devotees have a glimpse into the mysteries of understanding God and his pastimes. So in one way we are aligned with the monotheistic approach that there is one God, but some individuals who are not necessarily in our circles, bhakti yoga circles, may see that we have many gods. You know, we have all these incarnations, all these great incarnations. We have Lord Nrisimhadev, we have Lord Jagannath, Balaram Subhadra, and all the Vishnu tattvas that are fully potent godheads, expansions of the origin of Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Verse 28, Krishna is to Bhagavan Svayam. He's the original incarnation. The fountainhead of all incarnations. So even though so many incarnations emanate from him, he remains the supreme whole. He doesn't change originally. So we have so many incarnations, so many identities, like the purport is saying, so many identities that Krishna assumes for the purpose of fulfilling his missions. And what is that mission? Well, there are different reasons, but for our purposes it is to deliver conditioned souls and make the devotees peaceful, those who stay in the material world. It is very hard to grasp, even by practicing devotees, the nature of Lord Krishna and his incarnations. So in today's talk, I would like to address three aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we like to talk about how to properly understand those three aspects and different advantages of understanding those aspects properly, and why it makes philosophical sense to believe in such a way. So the three aspects are mentioned in the purport, that Krishna is a Yogeshwar. He's got multipotencies and he's the controller of those potencies, and also he has multiple identities. And the second point is that he is different and non-different from the world. That's even maybe harder to understand. He's different, aloof from the world, and non-different. So we covered that too. And then the third point is also mentioned in the purport, that God is never degraded by incarnating, by assuming different identities. Well, very interesting, at least for me. Myself, I was reading and thinking how to present these points. So, if there are any points that need clarification, you can always ask at the end. Hopefully, it's going to be clear. Okay, so we move on to the first point. Krishna has multi-potencies, and he's the controller of these potencies, and also he assumes different identities. So, even in this world, we have this. We have this idea that there are different identities. You go to work, you may be a big boss, big corporation, you may have employees under you, they're, afraid of you, give you respect. So you have your identity there, and then you go home, you may be a hand-picked husband, trying to fulfill, serve the wife. That's a different identity. And then you may be with friends, at a restaurant, maybe with friends hanging out, and in that role that you play, you have a different identity. You feel a little bit different. So even in material understanding, we can kind of relate to it. All of these are expressions of our energy and our desires. So why God cannot have multiple personalities and play multiple roles and still remain one supreme? Think about it also. I was thinking about it. If I had to stay all day at home, you know, I mean, it's great, but then if you have to be there all the time, you cannot come out. You cannot, you know, go out there and do different things, going to work, going shopping. And, you know, that would be kind of boring, actually. After some time, you just want to get out of the house and do something different. At least go on vacation, maybe. And if you had to stay at work, you know, for days and days and months, you'd be bored with your work, no matter how much you love your work. I mean, I love my job, but I don't want to be there 24 hours a day. So it may get boring to just do one thing in a way. So that's a material example. Even on the material platform, we can get the idea that variety is something that most of us like and appreciate, and that's how we express ourselves. You know, you go from one identity, one role to another, change your clothes, put another uniform on, you know, and do something else. Then you go back, you know, it's like a cycle. You know, sometimes you're at work, sometimes you're at home, sometimes you go to the temple, and all these different identities. You know, we'll develop this point a little bit later in the in the class. Similarly, God, He can have different desires for being a father, being a son, being the best friend, the best lover. He can be all that, and he can be much more. You know, he has innumerable incarnations, innumerable potencies and identities that he can assume. And we know only of the major ones. There are so many more. And there's a difference between us, obviously, and the Supreme Lord. He can assume and retain those identities simultaneously in different parts of the creation, while we cannot. We usually have one role, and we have to take time, change, you know, our mindset, our dress, and then we do something else, one thing at a time. For God, it's quite different because He's Yogeshwar. He's got all these multi-potencies. He can do so many things at once. It's unbelievable. It's inconceivable. So this is this point, and Srila Prabhupada gave us a nice example about, I think, a million candles or a billion candles. They all burn with the same fire, the same flame, and they're none different when it comes to the potency of the flame. However, there is still this one original candle from which all the others were lit. So Krishna is still Bhagavan Svayam. Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations, and he gives energy. He expands himself into different innumerable incarnations, and they, those incarnations retain full potencies. So this is a very nice example by Srila Prabhupada. And this only proves that God is omnipotent. You know, if God is got full power, full knowledge, He can do all these things. He remains the Supreme Lord, even though He expands in so many ways. The advantage of bless you. The advantage of believing in this concept, you may be asked by someone who is not necessarily a devotee, is that we all have our different tastes and likes, preferences, so we all have our intimate relationship with Krishna, you know, as friend or lover or servant. And some devotees feel very much inclined to worship Lord Jagannath, Lord Ram. So all these are individual desires for service, for a specific relationship with the Lord are accommodated by the Supreme Lord, who expands himself into these innumerable Godheads, innumerable incarnations. And we can appreciate that. Sometimes, you know, it may or may not help your devotional taste, but sometimes, you know, you have a friend, let's say you have a good friend, and you have a very special relationship with that friend, but later on you find out that your friend is not only just your friend, but he's a great musician, or he's a great artist, and then, ooh, and then you learn, oh, he's a great person. It's not only my friend, but he's an amazing person, fantastic. So it kind of adds to the variety, to the richness of the relationship, appreciation. So in this way, there are benefits and advantages of, and reasons why we believe in Krishna as Yogeshwar, the possessor of all multiple potencies and having different multiple identities. The next point that I'd like to cover is that God is one and separate from the world. So he's non-different from his fully non-different from his fully potent Vishnu Tattva incarnations, but he's also, what about the world? You know, what about this world? Is he also non-different from the world? If he is, then some people may say that we are, you know, we believe in pantheism, or that God is immanent in with nature, that he's present in nature, but he doesn't really have a person, separate personality. He's just in nature. He's nature. So is God simultaneously one with the world, the material world, and his creation, or is he completely different and he left this world to run by itself? Shokshari Jai. So, Lord Chaitanya taught us, answers this question, this dilemma, with the principle of Achintya Beta Beda, which is a simultaneous oneness and difference from the world. It's very hard to understand by your mind, by reason, but if we account for God's omnipotency, it is quite possible. God is simultaneously one with the world and different from the world. In fact, he knows this even better than you know your own pocket, than you know your own body. He knows this whole creation better. He has expansions, a special expansion, if I'm not mistaken, it's one of the Vishnus, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, that expands himself as the super soul into all the nooks and corners of the universe. And even every atom, he's there. He knows what's going on in every corner of the universe, just like a king. King has his. He may not be personally present, you know, as a material example, but may not be personally present in his king, in his all the places, locations of his kingdom. But he has his people. He has his confidential servants in different parts of the world, in different parts of the kingdom, and he knows what's going on in his kingdom. So God has a special incarnation, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, if I'm not mistaken, and he expands himself there into every corner of the universe, every atom. He knows all of our activities. He knows all of our thoughts, past, present, future. It's amazing. It's inconceivable. He's so great. And that is his greatness. Now, this simultaneous oneness and difference is a very special principle or concept, and that is exemplified by, this is a special day today, Lord Nrisimhadeva's appearance day. I'm sure we have a great lecture on that topic tonight. We can see that God is, from the story of Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu and Lord Nrisimhadeva, we can see that God is everywhere. You know, He can be in the sky, He can be in a piece of rock, He can be anywhere. And oftentimes, I find this principle of God's presence, simultaneous presence and difference from the world, it helps us in our devotional service. Because sometimes when we are in the temple, we dress nicely and we try to act like Vaishnavas, and sometimes many devotees work outside, and when they have no contact with the devotees, you know, for many hours of the day, maybe many days, they have to work in a different environment. And sometimes, by associating with an environment, we pick up some energies of Rajaguna from other individuals who may not be devotees. And it is easy for us to think that God is not watching, God is not there. It's just so easy because we don't see Him. And it's harder to perceive God when we are away from this circle of the devotees. So my point is that in those times you may, you know, slacken our conduct a little bit. We're away from the congregation. And this principle of achintya bheda bheda, that God is everywhere. He's in your heart. He's in every atom. He's in the hearts of all your friends, even the materialists and animals, trees, plants. It can help us to maintain our Vaishnava etiquette, Vaishnava conduct, you know, when we are not at the temple, not only on Sundays, you know, where we come for puja, and then when we go out there, we may not necessarily act 100% as we would at the temple. It is a very hard thing to do, to transfer our conduct from the temple and from the our practice and try to feel and act as Vaishnavas when we're out there. So I think this principle of God's presence in every atom of the universe helps us to be on top of our practice and behavior. And I'm always inspired by our great Vaishnava teacher, His Holiness Indradyumna Swami. I used to read a lot of his diaries, the one diary of the traveling monk, I think, traveling preacher, and he had a nice prayer to Lord Nrisimhadev that I'd like to recite to you today. I don't even know exactly the translation of it, but it's a prayer to Ugra Nrisimha. I think he included it as one of his books, and I try to say it every day. I think if you can chant with me, you can chant in your mind. I can like to say it here. A prayer to the divine protector of our devotional service. Without the protection of Lord Nrisimhadeva, we cannot maintain our integrity. We cannot maintain our devotional practice, especially practicing devotees. Om Hrim Sham Ugram Viram Havishnum Jivaranta Sarvata Mukham Nrisimham Vishnam Badram Martyor Mrtyu Namamiham. Om Hrim Sham Ugram Viram Havishnum Jivaranta Sarvata Mukham Nrisimham Vishnam Badram Martyor Mrtyu Namamiham. Om Hrim Sham Ugram Viram Havishnum Jivaranta Sarvata Mukham Nrisimham Vishnam Badram Martyor Mrtyu Namamiham. So this aspect was covered, God's simultaneous presence and difference from the world. The third aspect that I'd like to cover today is that God is not degraded by his incarnations. For example, just a material example, we know that there are different animals, and that a hog is a filthy animal. We all know it. However, when God incarnates and he assumes the form of a boar, divine boar, he's amazing. Just like I think Srila Prabhupada gave this a similar example. Sun. The sun shines on flowers, and the flowers absorb the warmth and the energy of the sun. But the sun also shines on filthy puddles of water and all kinds of garbage. And different recipients of the sun's rays and energy benefit differently. But the sun is equal to all. It shines on everything, and then the sun rays are not affected by where the sun rays fall, the recipients, but the objects with which it comes into contact. So similarly, just like the sun, the all-powerful sun shines on beautiful and not so beautiful things, and it remains unaffected. Lord Shri Krishna, when he expands in different incarnations, and it comes in different forms, like Lord Tortoise, Boar, Varaha, and sometimes he's a king, sometimes he's, different form, different incarnations, there are so many. He remains unaffected. He just does it for us and the living entities in this material world that assume different forms too, and we have different mentalities, and we can get attracted by the Lord in specific particular forms that he assumes. So this, he does it for our benefit. He does it for our benefit, and we cannot omit mentioning the Archa Vigraha incarnation of the Lord, who is not different from Lord Shri Krishna. God is never degraded by his incarnations, but we can be degraded by not appreciating, not understanding his incarnations properly. We can have misconceptions about different incarnations of God, like, Lord Rama, he's great, he's the king, but I'm not sure about the other incarnations, I'm not sure about this. Maybe I may have improper understanding. And some very new devotees or even visitors who are spiritualists but not necessarily engaged in our strict devotional practice, they may not appreciate the Archa Vigraha deity for what he or she is. It is very unfortunate, and this is our duty to make sure they understand properly the Lord's incarnations. If we have this misconception or do not appreciate the Lord's incarnations properly, our own devotional service will be thwarted. We should try our best, ask our Guru for help and senior devotees to make sure we always appreciate and understand properly all the incarnations of the Supreme Lord. Another nice example that Srila Prabhupada gives is, I think, the spider's web. The spider is the controller and the creator of the web, and he creates a web, and he creates the flies. Don't see the web, and then fly into the web, and they're bewildered, and they're lost. But the spider, he's in the web. He's unaffected by the web. He's pretty swift. He's pretty swift. Similarly, this whole creation, with different incarnations of the Lord, different his different identities and energies is his creation, but he's not in the least way affected by it. He remains complete, whole, supremely independent, and at the same time simultaneous with the creation and everything. So I thought that this is very important to understand, that the proper appreciation and understanding of each of the Lord's incarnations, like Lord Nishinadev, he appeared thousands and millions and billions of years ago. We appreciate him properly. He is going to so much help us in our path of devotional service. You all need his help. We become purified by his mercy and protected. Our misconceptions and our difficulties on the path of devotional service will be removed. So this is the advantage of understanding the Lord's incarnations properly, that we will be elevated in our devotional service, not degraded. Our devotional service will not be thwarted by improper understanding. I think I'm coming close to the conclusion of the class, and in conclusion I would like to say that we all have our different identities and different energies that we display. We go about our daily duties. We cannot display them simultaneously, but we do have our different identities. But we mistakenly think that we are part of this world, just like our body. Just like this body, we think is a misconception. And even practicing devotees have this remains of this misconception, I'm sure. Yes, we are identifying ourselves with this body. So this is our, you know, our incorrect, improper identity. This is the difference between God's identities and God's and our identities. His identities, they remain true and perfect, no matter how he incarnates or expands. But our identities are not perfect and complete unless we ask ourselves these questions: what is our true identity? And the Lord answers that in chapter 15, verse 7 of Bhagavad Gita. Go to this verse. The eternal, the fragmental parts, the spirit souls in this world are my eternal fragmental parts, and they are in this world, loitering in this world, not very happy. And the verse reads, Mama evamsha jiva loke jiva bhutakstanatanha manak sashchindriyani praktiskhani karshati. But we are eternal fragmental parts of Krishna. And in verse 13 of chapter 9, the Lord explains that the great souls who are not deluded by the misconceptions of different identities are under the protection of the divine nature, and they are fully engaged in devotional service. So this is our true identity. You know, God has, all of his identities are true, but our identity, our only identity that's eternal and true is that we are eternal fragmental parts of God, and we are meant to serve him eternally. If we act on this true identity by worshipping the Lord's incarnations, or our favorite incarnation, then we will please God, we please Srila Prabhupada, we will be happy forever, eternally happy, as Srila Prabhupada would like us to be, and Krishna would like us to be. So let's act on our true identity as servants of the Lord. and share this understanding with others as we go about our days. Thank you very much for your attention and coming to this class. If you have any questions, I'll try to answer. Thank you.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu.
Sure, no problem.
Got my mind, you know, thinking about a lot of things. I was thinking like Krishna is unlimited, and I was thinking about when he expands himself like Lord Brahma. He told Lord Brahma that it's many Lord Brahmas, you know. And Lord Brahma thought that it was just one, and he was the only one. So I was thinking about it, when it comes to Lord Vishnu, is it many unlimited Lord Vishnus, you know? Krishna is unlimited, so he has unlimited living entities, you know. So this is just going through my mind. I don't know if you can answer it or not. But, you know, I was kind of figuring like maybe it is unlimited Lord Vishnu's too, you know. It's unlimited Paramatmas, you know, mm-hmm. in everybody's heart, you know.
Sure.
It's just a comment I want to make.
Sure. Thank you for your comment. I mean, sounds perfect. I mean, I think there are unlimited Lord Vishnu still.
Exactly a different Paramatma in each of our hearts, but rather they're all expansions of, as you said, Shiradakshai Vishnu. So, Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyaminatishtan, he expands in innumerable incarnations. So the Paramatma features there, but they're not exactly different, they're expansions of Vishnu. So he has unlimited expansions. But in terms of, we hear there's three, they're called Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Kshiradakshai Vishnu, Karnadakshai Vishnu. Garbhadakshai Vishnu. I think those are the primary Vishnu expansions. From them, many other expand. Like even Surya Narayan, the sun god, is an expansion of Vishnu. That's just a contribution.
Thank you.
Thank you for the class. I'd like to briefly contribute to this recent conversation too, also, but that's not my original point, but I can obviously concur with obviously Acharya saying from the scriptures, and chapter 13, Gita kind of answers that question too. It says, I can't remember the verse, you can look at that chapter, Prabhu, it basically says, the one super soul, like he said, expands himself in innumerable living entities. This says the super soul is one, but he expands himself. And one thing that came to mind is that when we're watching a football game or any basketball game, the basketball court or the field is one, but it's broadcast, you know, all over the world. And so the super soul is broadcast within the heart of everyone, even though he's one. So Prabhupada usually gives an analogy of a sun. The sun is reflected in many buckets of water. Although the sun is one, but it can be seen in many different lakes and many different waters, etc. Anyway, that's my point.
Thank you.
Question and comment regarding your classes. You were mentioning, let's see. Forgive me, my notes are organized again. you were mentioning essentially that we shouldn't, it's much more easier to be Vaishnavas around Vaishnavas. But we go in a material world is very difficult. I think you were mentioning something to that effect.
Yes.
Let's not be just something. That may be true in one sense, but maybe you could expand on this perspective, because in one sense I kind of find it easier to be, or at least pretend, like you said, like I'm a pretender, so it's at least easier to pretend to be Vaishnavas in a material world, because when you're at your job and your boss is a jerk, generally speaking, you're not gonna, you know, retaliate against him because you lose your job, you won't get paid. Or even in material, you won't retaliate against police officers. Or even in a material world, I won't retaliate against even any pedestrian. Like, you get on the train, you see so many people like talking to themselves, or and generally speaking, you won't, you know, do anything to. You'll definitely respect them. In other words, because people won't think about, they won't think, you know, anything of, you know, killing you, basically, in the material. It's Kali Yuga, so like Hare Krishna, I respect you. So I kind of, but among devotees, I would say it's much more harder, because generally speaking, you know, a devotee is not gonna, we're not gonna, you know, do a boxing match with each other. And so, I mean, we are, in other words, it's, I find it much more difficult to associate, you know, with devotees. I think we all agree, because I'll use this example with Hirani Kashipu. You use the example, maybe you could expand on them. Like Hirani Kashipu, when he was powerless, he performed austerities and he wanted to gain the mercy of Brahma. Brahma, I worship you. Please give me some powers. Once Brahma delegated the powers to him, then he was like, Brahma, I don't care about you. I'm going to enslave you. So to show his gratitude, he enslaved Lord Brahma. And we see in the material world, generally if we want something from somebody and they're more powerful than us, we definitely respect them, like our boss. But then when we gain more power than them, then the tolerance is out the window. And so we see that Hirani Kashipu became very a powerful personality when he humbled himself. It was false humility, but that's how Lord Brahma gave him. And so we see one analogy that I heard, I really appreciate, it says that a seed cannot germinate in the light, it must be buried in the ground to become powerful. So we see that even with false humility, Hirani Kashipu became a very powerful tree. But however, Jitendra, he was just the other day, there's a tree by the parking lot over there, and he was telling me that he called the city because this tree had died by the parking lot. And when storms come, it's very dangerous for people because so he basically called the city to cut the tree down.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see that in this Hirani Kashipu pastime, he became powerful by humbling himself. But we see that it doesn't matter how, you know, when a tree becomes a powerful tree, and when it dies, what do the city workers do? They cut it down. So we see it doesn't matter how powerful we become like Hirani Kashipu. If we're spiritually dead, Lord Nisimha will cut us down.
Sure.
Cut us down, cut our humility.
Sure.
And so my question is that what are some steps we could take to keep this understanding in mind that like Hirani Kashipu, that it doesn't matter how much power I gain, I can always be cut down. That's why I should always respect others, always love others, always forgive others, because it's very easy to forgive, tolerate people who have more power than us, you know.
Sure.
Very easy. And so, and we see that in our Krishna consciousness, people leave Krishna consciousness because maybe some aparats, you know. So maybe you could expand on these points. I don't know if my question was clear, but these are some points I appreciated from that pastime.
Well, thank you for all these wonderful points, Prabhu. So basically, the question is how to prevent the pride from pride, or whenever we get, you know, resources from Krishna to use in our service, how to prevent from, you know, the pride is always there. It's always there, and the mind and the heart. It's always, there's always an opportunity to be proud. Well. There are different ways in which you can tackle this, this enemy of ours, pride, false pride. was pride. Well, sometimes we can think of ourselves that we, when we were born, when we appeared into this world, we had nothing. You know, we just had the body, and then we had to be taken care of by our parents. And on our way to, to be grown up, we had to depend on so many individuals, our parents, our teachers, to get to the point that we were at, you know, to get to the point where we make money and we have a good job, or we've grown up with family, and you know, if you look back, you can see that all whatever you got today, you owe that to someone, your parents, your school teachers, and ultimately, in spiritual quest. To your God brothers, you know, to your guru. And then in the future, you can most likely, with high certainty, you can predict what's going to happen. You can say, you know, I will gradually, you know, hopefully get more advanced in spiritual understanding, but this body and everything I have will be diminishing. And eventually, I will also have to leave it, just like I got it in the beginning. I will have to leave this body. So why should we be proud? We're just here for a brief moment, and we have a chance to participate in this great movement that Srila Prabhupada expanded because of his guru Maharaj asked him to order him. So why be proud? Just humbly accept the service that Krishna and Guru mercifully give us, and let's not think about much about the resources that we have, the body, the knowledge, money, Lakshmi, but let's think about how they can be used, because sooner or later all have to go, they'll be used by others. Now we have to leave everything, the body, our houses, homes, our money. We only take with us our devotional service and our relationship with Krishna. I hope this may be helpful.
Hare Krishna, thank you. It was absolutely helpful, and I really appreciate your point, because it reminded me of another point I'd just like to share briefly. You were mentioning that in appreciation of your answer, that there's no question of being proud, because everything we've either done materially or spiritually is by the mercy of others. You know, we could begin by thanking our parents, and all the way up to our teachers, friends, devotees. So many reasons to be grateful for so many people. And and we see, like regarding Hiranyakashipu, he became materially rich and powerful by Lord Brahma's mercy. But if you ask him, how'd you become powerful? It was all me. But in the Bhagavatam, it's interesting. Prahlad Maharaj, I don't remember which verse, but if you read that section, when he's explaining Krishna Katha to his classmates, the classmates were so impressed by how spiritually rich and powerful Prahlad Maharaj, they asked him the question, how'd you become so spiritually rich and powerful? Now, Narada, like most child prodigies, they say it's all me, you know, just me, you know, no. But Prahlad, he says, he could have been arrogant because his guru wasn't there, but he said, the reason I'm so spiritually rich and powerful, it's all due to my mercy, my guru, Narada Muni. And his guru wasn't there. Usually when we're, so when somebody's not there, you know, we criticize or we neglect or we ignore, but, you know, that was the opportunity for him. So I appreciate that pastime, and I'll just mention one last quote by Dr. Martin Luther King that I actually shared with Maharaj like last week or whenever he was here. There's a YouTube lecture by Martin Luther King called Why Jesus Called a Rich Man a Fool. And in this lecture, Dr. Martin Luther King says, Jesus called a rich man a fool because he failed to realize his dependence on others.
Mm.
Now, in this parable, this fool spoke about 60 words. And do you know in 60 words, he said, I am mine more than 15 times.
Wow.
This fool said, I am mine so much that he lost the capacity to say we and ours.
Sure.
My friends, I don't want you to forget it. No matter where you are today, somebody helped you to get there. And so,
sure.
Thank you for allowing me to share.
Mm. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Always make very nice comments. Any other questions? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
You reminded me of that point, I forgot. I was actually going to bring that last point up again, but people reminded me through you. Tell you about that. Show me how to turn it up.